fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 3rd day of March. Prepper tip of the day: check your tactical gear, your helmets, gas mask, body armor. Make sure you've got what you need, that it fits. Get out in a private area where you can do a little training in private, moving around with your helmet and body armor on. Do a little shooting with that rifle with your body armor. It's a whole different experience. That's your prepper tip of the day. My patient Wayne Green and my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff's website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Excellent new article or articles written every week. And his books are for sale at amazon.com. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Well, a little humor is a good thing, and I'm reading your most recent article titled Zombie Apocalypse and Pope's Dunkade. And it's references to the deceased comedian Rodney Dangerfield in there. A well-written article, and I encourage people to read it. Thank you for writing it, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm referring to Alexander Pope's Dunciad, in which he talks about the everything turning into dunces. You were talking about Idiocracy yesterday on the show.
Right.
Pope suffered literary critics. He was one of the great poets of the English language in the back in the 18th century, and he writes this poem. It was written in stages, where he depicts his critics as basically the sons or the favored sons of the goddess of dullness. And of course, what ends up happening is he describes an apocalypse of dullness, where they take over. They basically take over everything. So the whole world becomes dull, and of course, it ends up destroying everything because it unleashes a kind of hellish boredom, because the dull are stupid and the stupid are boring, and boring is just lights out. So it's kind of...
This was written in the 19th century, sir?
No, in the 18th. Century. Yeah, he was a poet during the 1700s.
Really? A long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was very prophetic, wasn't he?
It seems so, yeah. It's very interesting that some of the poem really relates to us. Of course, he was a very famous student of human nature. He wrote the Essay on Man, which is a poem from which many of the sayings of the English language come. You know, so when you read the poem, you'll say, oh, that's where that comes from. Sort of things that are embedded in our English psychology. So, though people don't really read Alexander Pope that much anymore, he is very decisive for the English language.
Well, the world moves forward. Each week is a bit more strange and bizarre than the one before. And so what's high on your list? I know you said yesterday that you're concerned about and paying attention to what might be the beginning of open warfare, sir.
Well, yeah, I've began a survey. I'm going to write a series of articles. I'm most of the way through the first one, in which I'm looking at first grand strategy and where Chinese and Russian grand strategy comes from. And there's a man named Ernst Topisch who wrote a book in the mid-1980s. He was a German soldier during World War II who had been in 6th Army at Stalingrad, but he was fortunate enough to be sick or wounded. I forget which it was, and he got moved off of the front before the battle started that, you know, destroyed the army. But he always had wondered, you know, why this war was fought, how it came out. And he was one of the first people to reconstruct the diplomatic history of the Second World War and then the military history of it in a way that showed that Stalin was really the person who was really manipulating events more masterfully than anyone else. That, in fact, Hitler was his dupe. And that of course, the Americans and British were also tricked by the Russians. And he talks about Soviet grand strategy, where it comes from, and how it works. So this is just sort of the beginning of kind of introducing the idea of the higher concepts that the Soviet Union used, which recognizably China and Russia are using today. And, of course, there are two elements. Deception and manipulation, infiltration and agent networks, of course, that help that infiltration and manipulation, and then military preparation, which then, of course, combine into a strategy in which the manipulation culminates in a situation of such massive superiority of weapons that they can overwhelm any enemy. And this is actually what they were preparing in World War II. There's a tape recording of Hitler, which is the only one known of him when they didn't know he was being recorded. He had gone to Finland for the birthday of Marshal Mannerheim, the Finnish defense minister at the time, as a surprise visit. And a discussion ensued about what the Russian this took place in 1942, 1 year into the war on the Eastern Front. And a discussion ensued about how much preparations the Russians were making for war before the Germans attacked. Germans surprise attacked the Russians on 22 June 1941, and they had Hitler's announcement was they had a count. They had captured or destroyed by that point in the war 34,000, almost 35,000 Soviet tanks. And, of course, they had invaded the Soviet Union with only 3,500 tanks in 1941. So the Russians had, in the first year of the war, were preparing a force of tanks 10 times bigger than the Third Reich's tank force. So who was about to invade who? All the generals around the table, they had this conference in Mannerheim's railway car headquarters. Somebody had hung a tape recording on the on a coat rack, and so you could actually listen to this recording if you understand German. It's on YouTube, but they also have subtitles if you don't. But it's absolutely fascinating. a discussion of how they got into the war. And so I sort of plugged this into it, into Topish's discussion. And then, of course, I go into my own discussion of what they're doing to us now.
Well, that's an amazing historical record that I was not aware existed until just this moment. It sounds like the finished head of the finished military ministry was getting along quite famously with Adolf.
Well, Finland was the only democracy that was allied with Nazi Germany in the war. And of course, they allied with Germany because the Soviet Union attacked them in November 30th, 1939. And the Soviets had a real tough time because the Swedish volunteers came and joined the Finnish army. They fought off the Soviets, but the Soviets did break their line and ended up taking a lot of Finnish territory. They took their Arctic port in the north, Petsamo. They also they occupied a lot of Finnish land in eastern Finland, which I believe that Russia has to this day. And so the Finns, when Hitler attacked the Soviet Union, the Finns wanted their land back, so they joined the war against communism. Remember, Soviet Union is a communist country. They're not good guys. Doesn't matter that Hitler wasn't a good guy. The Finns, you know, were fighting for their survival, and they wanted their land back. So they joined in, as well as Romania and Hungary also declared war on the Soviet Union and sent troops. Even Spain sent a division, the famous Blue Division, to fight the Soviet Union because, of course, the Soviets sent tanks in the Spanish Civil War and military advisors to the Republican government. So
there was a Finnish sniper, Simo Heha, with 505 confirmed kills as a sniper during the 1939-1940 war. He's a national hero of Finland. His nickname was the White Death. Amazing. Amazing individual.
Finland was the only country on the Axis side that was not occupied by the Allies or the Soviets. They made a deal late in the war. It may have been brokered by the U.S. government to basically switch sides. So at the end of the war, towards the end of the war, Finland switched sides.
Switch sides from what to what?
From being on the Axis side to the Allies.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Gotcha.
But this rare recording sort of gives us insight to what the Germans, you know, a lot of things about what the Germans discovered in coming into the Soviet Union have sort of been covered up because the Soviets had control of documents. The Soviets occupied Berlin. They occupied the German ministries, and of course, anything that would reveal what the Soviets were up to in the early part of the war was hidden.
Obviously, one of the more infamous incidents was the execution of the Polish officers in the Katyn Forest by the Soviets, which is blamed for decades on the Germans, wasn't it?
Yes, that's in fact at Nuremberg. They put that on the Germans at Nuremberg, and of course, it was the Soviet judges who were judging there were actually their side was responsible. There was also the fact that the Soviets began the war as partners of Hitler, and Topish and also a Russian writer, Viktor Suvorov, a former GRU defector, actually his real name is Vladimir Rezin, wrote two books on this, one called The Chief Culprit and the other called The Icebreaker, is about how really Stalin started the Second World War. And how he started it was by making the pact with Hitler. Hitler would not have been able to attack Poland without the Soviets joining him because they partitioned Poland, actually. The Allies declared war on Germany. How the war started as a world war because they had guaranteed Poland's independence. And it's funny that both Nazi Germany and the Soviets attacked Poland, but the Allies only declared war on Nazi Germany, not on the Soviets. Of course, the Soviets invaded 17 days after the Germans invaded, but they got a sizable chunk of Poland. It was very cleverly done, but it's the art of communist strategy. And part of the strategy was invented by Lenin, and the other part was really the responsibility of Stalin. And Ernst Topisch says Stalin was a statesman of genius. But the real innovation, the strategic innovation that really belongs to the communists, is that they have no moral scruples. That's their innovation. So they are unlimited in what they can do. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will murder. And it does give you at least an immediate advantage in such things. It's such ruthless business as international politics.
Well, that's the true nature of our opposition, ladies and gentlemen. These are the people behind the communists that are running the White House right now. If we don't become aware of this and learn to deal with it, we're toast as a republic, aren't we, sir?
Well, it's a very difficult problem that we've had for a long time, because communists have been in Washington since at least the 1930s, have been in the government. FDR was warned by the FBI that he had communists in the government, and he just sort of mocked the FBI over it. But it really was no laughing matter, because the communists had a very significant influence on our policies in World War II. And in fact, there's a book about how Pearl Harbor was related. The communists were involved. They had something called Operation Snow. As you know, in the winter, as winter approached at the end of 1941, the temperatures fell and there was a lot of snow in Russia. The German armies were closing in on Moscow. The Russians wanted to make sure before that happened that the Japanese didn't join in with the Germans and invade the Soviet Union. So Operation Snow was initiated in the summer of 41 to make sure that Japan went to war with the United States. And they used a spy that they had in the Treasury Department, Harry Dexter White, who wrote a very famous cable that basically led to the Japanese decision to go to war with the United States.
So the cable that he wrote went to the Japanese government.
Yes, and it was sort of an ultimatum having to do with the embargo. And of course, he was the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, effectively under Henry Morgenthau. He was really running Treasury, and he was given responsibility. And the wording was a very delicate matter. And the wording, if it was worded in the right way, the Japanese wouldn't have been offended and might have been able to save face. But if it was worded in the way Harry Dexter White worded it, the Japanese were more inclined for war. And as the author of the book points out, the Japanese government was also infiltrated by the Soviets, who were pushing, the Japanese really, there were quite a few Japanese that did not favor war with America. We'd had good relations with Japan in the past, and it favored war against the Soviet Union. But these were undermined by that telegram. So it's a fascinating story of how the Soviets not only manipulated the start of World War II in Europe, but also in the Far East. And there's a story having to do with China there too. They used a similar strategy in Europe as China. By getting the Western allies to fight Germany, by getting Hitler to make this terrible mistake of invading Poland, the mistake in the Far East, of course, was the Japanese invading China, which led to their war with America. And of course, Russia came out ahead in that, got control of China and Eastern Europe out of that war.
Hold that thought. We got a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-and lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the third day of March. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. I'm so glad I got the EMP Shield device for my daughter, my granddaughter, my son-in-law, my oldest grandson. And it gives me peace of mind. It will give you peace of mind also to get yours. The best discount you can get is at my website, $50 off on the EMP Shield device. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Excellent articles there. His books are for sale at amazon.com. And Jeff, we got a caller on hold here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have two questions, if you wouldn't mind. One has to do with the subject of Soviet strategy. I have researched something a little bit into the Reichstag fire. We want to go back to World War II, and I looked at an account of a British journalist that was on site when it happened. And from his description of the reactions of the people involved, Hitler and Goebbels and everything, it was, I doubt that the Nazis masterminded that. I think that guy, Vanderleeb, he acted alone, and that the little fires that he created and the plush furniture in the Reichstag were more than enough to create the disaster that happened. In fact, they've demonstrated that recently in a mock-up. But, which brings me another thing. Was he just acting on his own, or was he planted in there, possibly a mind-controlled operative sent there to create an incident where possibly the two possibilities, either to provoke a communist uprising or to create a situation where the Nazis could take advantage of it, create an incident whereby they could use the enabling acts to consolidate their absolute control and wherein they could be from there on maneuvered into a situation where they could start a second imperialist war. Have you ever heard of that?
A second imperialist war?
Yes. I mean, yeah, possible that they were, did Stalin burn the Reichstag?
Well, no, they arrested a communist and tried him for burning it, but we don't know if Stalin ordered that or not. Nobody thinks that.
Has anybody ever researched it in the organs, the archives?
Well, yeah, lots of people have researched it, I forget the name of the guy that burned the Reichstag,
Vandermeer.
I think that he really did. He was just sort of like a kook, and of course,
his name was Marinus Vandermeer.
Yeah, yeah. Hitler was helped by Stalin into power by other ways. Stalin ordered the communists in Germany not to form an alliance with the Social Democrats, which is part of how Hitler was able to become chancellor. Since they weren't able to form a government, they had to form a right-wing government, and the Nazis were holding out. They wouldn't only allow it to happen if Hitler was chancellor. So they finally agreed to that. So that's how Hitler became chancellor of the country, and the Reichstag fire enabled Hitler to gain emergency powers. You know, there was an enabling act that basically made him a dictator. And then when Hindenburg died, not that long afterwards, Hitler just assumed Hindenburg's office, you know, using that same enabling act. So Hitler's dictatorship out of Weimar, the Third Reich was formed from, as you know, from the Reichstag fire. But yes, there was, you know, not in terms of burning the Reichstag, but in terms of, which seems to have been, by the way, an event that happened that, and you know, a lot of people thought the Nazis did it, you know, that Hermann Göring had done it, but really there's no evidence that anybody but Vandermeer did it. But it helped the process along. And of course, why would Stalin want the Nazi Party to take power in Germany, and he sabotaged the Communist Party by not allowing it to unite with the rest of the left, which is, by the way, what Communist parties always do, is unite with the other left-wing parties, especially against the fascists, is because Stalin wanted Hitler to come to power because he called him the icebreaker of the revolution. He wanted that second imperialist war, and of course, Viktor Suvorov goes into this, that they called World War I the first imperialist war. And Lenin had said in 1920 that there was going to be a second imperialist war, you know, if the revolution didn't catch fire across Europe, and that the way the revolution would spread, you know, to other countries, communism would spread through a second world war, which is in fact what happened. So that's how Eastern Europe came under the communists. So yeah, Hitler was used by Stalin, and that's an important point.
We have Bob in the Hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, yes sir.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the third day of March. My website is thelibertyman.com. We're now helping Jim McCanny sell his wing generators. It's a process. If when you begin it, you may get a wing generator in 3 months. That would be really quick. 4 to 5 is probably more likely. So you need to begin that process as soon as possible, quite frankly. You really do. Also on my website, we're getting caught up on energy cleaner orders. I'm taking delivery of a pallet of mattress pads tomorrow. I've got 24 energy cleaners in stock, ready for shipment, and we'll take your orders and get these orders out as quick as we can. We've got a 300% increase the past year, and it's been burdensome but fun at the same time to help people get their lives back. Get the details at my website on the energy cleaner, the mattress pads, at thelibertyman.com, and place your order using PayPal. Send me a check if you like. That's okay. My address is right there. Toll-free hour line, 24 hours a day. Here it is, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His excellent books, I recommend, are for sale at amazon.com. Let's continue, Jeff.
Yeah, so, yeah, the it's a, you know, the strategy that is used is is one of, you could say it's called a scissor strategy. It's in which you manipulate your enemies as if and you get them to fight each other. And in the process of them fighting each other, you're advancing agents within their governments who are playing off the agents and other what the agents are doing in other governments. And of course, this is how you use wars, imperialist wars, ideally, to help your cause. A good example of how that's used during the Cold War is a conflict between India and Pakistan. The Chinese provided military equipment and advisors to Pakistan. The Russians provided them to India. And so that each side in the conflict was being advised and encouraged by either one of the communist powers. So they played a kind of divide and conquer game, which then involved the scissors strategy. You can also play a scissors strategy domestically with domestic political parties, like, let's say, the Republicans and the Democrats. If you could get agents in the Republican Party and agents in the Democratic Party, you could get the actual debates between the two parties to work out in a way that destroys America and, of course, helps the communist cause. And it can be very subtle. It can be something that you can't really, you know, nobody would really think of it, even if they saw it. They wouldn't recognize what it was they were looking at.
Well, it's very important information for people to understand. They don't understand what's happened in the past. We're clueless as to how to protect ourselves in the future, aren't we, sir?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, you can't. Different defectors have made the statement that you can't fight the Soviets or you can't fight the communists without a real deep understanding, without a plan of your own and a deep understanding of how their strategies work. And that's the problem. We have, having no strategic understanding, more often than not, you know, I've been going through different books by Western strategists, and they merely assume that, you know, Russian or Chinese strategy is based on the ideas similar to our own. And they're not. They have completely different ideas of how to run a war, how to do diplomacy, how to do politics. And their thinking is very different. They have a bag of tricks that we don't seem to know much about. And I can't tell you how many books I've read where these experts, people with PhDs, people with experience in the State Department, the high government officials, politicians, they don't know any of this stuff.
Absolutely.
They're not familiar. Yeah. And this is a handicap, because if you don't know the strategies and the ideas, you know, Marxism, Leninism, which is really what the philosophy of China, for example, is, the ruling philosophy, the ruling party is Marxist-Leninist. That philosophy or that outlook is both a combination of political ideas, philosophical ideas, and strategic ideas, because based in the philosophy is the idea of revolution. And in that idea of revolution is that we're not just concerned as Marxists in knowing things, in understanding the world. The point is to change the world. So strategy becomes extremely important, because they want to change the entire world over to communism.
Jeff, we got a call on hold. We're at Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jeff, I've got a complaint here. I think you just are way too white. According to Coca-Cola, you're too confident, you're too intelligent, and you're just absolutely too certain of this stuff. Did you hear that thing the other day?
He's trying to make it funny, Jeff.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola has instituted training for their people to tell all the white men that work for them that there's something defective about them.
Well, yeah, I guess, there's something wrong with all of us, but what is it really?
Well, I didn't know if you had heard about it or not, and so, I was trying to make a joke about it, because it's just, I would urge anyone to listen to on YouTube. Buddy Brown has made up a song of it that is just absolutely hilarious. But this you were talking about strategy, and to me, it's like I've said all along, I'm not saying there ain't great black people, Mexicans and Indian and all kinds of different people that have great men in them. But the reality is that if they can break the white male down in this country, they know that they are the backbone of this country. And if they, that's why you, I mean, have you ever thought, this just hit me the other day, I was sitting thinking about it. Have you ever wondered why math and things, science and all of these different disciplines that are hard or require intelligence are all considered white racism? Why isn't any of those things considered black racism or brown racism? I don't get it. I mean, if people could just look and think and get outside of their political training a little bit, they would see that we are under attack, just exactly like you've been saying, Jeff. It is for so long. We are under attack, and if we don't realize that, we're going to lose this war.
Yeah, well, the program of the Communist Party is to say that all non-white, non-males are victims. Basically, if you look at the list, the Communist Party program, which was first written, the current version was first written in 2004, and then it's been updated over the years. They basically say it's, you know, blacks, Hispanics, American Indians, Asians, you know, immigrants, you know, people of color of all different colors. They're victims. They're victims of capitalism. They've associated capitalism with whiteness and maleness. Okay, it's a white male thing. That's one of the reasons white males are in this position, is the communists made this conscious decision. How do we make a majority, since we can't get the white male worker to become a communist and revolt? You know, because originally communism was about the proletarian revolution. And who were the workers? They were mostly white men in Europe and America. But since they couldn't get that to work, they changed the communist focus. They made the focus that the oppressed were women and minorities. And if you get enough women and minorities together, you have what? A majority. And this is what they call their enlarged democracy. This is what the communist documents call it. And, of course, this is how they're going to take down the Western world. And they're doing it. This is why they're promoting minorities and women and demoting white men. So it's part of a conscious program. If you noticed it's happening, it's their strategy. It's coming from the communists. It's not just coming from the left. It's from the communists themselves. They invented this whole thing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. All right, John, that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, Carl, thank you for the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. Well, as usual, Jeff, we're covering a lot of territory here, and we need to keep reminding people about the grand strategy and the ultimate goals of the Chinese and Russian communists, don't we, sir?
Yes, we do, because it's already affected our lives in ways that we can't even begin to estimate. But it could end our lives, because there's nuclear weapons pointed at us from these countries.
That's right. Well, the nuclear weapons, of course, is the final and worst outcome, probably. Of course, I know you're well aware of it, but our listeners aren't necessarily. The Russians and the Chinese have developed what's called tactical nukes that put out almost no radiation, make them a very viable thing to use, don't they, sir?
Yes, and the Russians have developed fuel air bombs, munitions that are as powerful as tactical nuclear weapons. So they even have this other kind of explosive warhead, which could be used instead of a nuclear warhead. And in fact, this bomb has the advantage that it creates a shockwave that goes through the concrete of a bunker and can kill the people inside the bunker without even destroying the bunker.
Amazing. Jeff, we got a caller here. We got John in Florida. Good morning, John.
John, I listened to the third hour of your show yesterday with as a guest on. I have a half-brother in California who went to high school. He's 17 years younger, and he went to college. And he tried to get in the Pipefitters Union about 15 years ago. Well, he doesn't know. He couldn't do basic math, which was fractions. And I became a pipefitter in the early 90s, but they're not teaching the kids fractions. And if you can't do fractions, you can't do critical thinking of how to figure out how to do offsets. I just want to throw that in because you were talking about education, Jeff, last night.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday we were. Yeah, it's funny. It appears to be part of their strategy to dumb down our people because, of course, what's difficult for Russia and China has been to compete with us militarily and economically. And if they can put children out in our schools that can't do basic things, then they can overtake us militarily and economically. So it's along the lines of economic sabotage.
Yeah, my brother, he went to college out there. You know, my half-brother went to college out there, and he's always been some kind of a manager. You know, but he couldn't do the fractions. He went to college and can't do fractions. He can't get the concept. And
yeah,
if we're going metric, then you don't have to figure anything out. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. Thank you.
Well, John, before you get away, by the time I was a freshman in high school, I was running a black iron gas line myself, doing all the measurements, the calculations, cutting, threading, and putting it all together on my own by the time I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my father had laundromats, and so I got hands-on. And you know what helped me grasp fractions, believe it or not, was looking at a socket set, SAE socket set, wrenches.
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, because the way that they were trying to teach the fractions in school, you know, carry this over there. But I actually looked at, just by looking at a set of tools, I was actually, oh, this is easy.
Right.
And maybe it's just, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, how good. Thank you.
On the job training. Well, what's been done to our educational system is disastrous, and it's by design. It didn't just happen on its own. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a number of books that have been out on this, but Educated to Destroy is one of them. And the lady's name, it's Robin, and I'm not remembering her last name, but you can look it up on online and you can find the book. But it's very interesting what people have found looking at this, that it is part of a design. When I was in teacher education, both of my master teachers were Marxists. They both told me to study Marx, that Marx was the future of education, at least in California, where I received my teaching credential. And this was sort of shocking to me. They had really taken over education. It's no joke. And, of course, there they were side by side with people who weren't Marxists. And I thought, well, doesn't anybody object to the fact of who these people are and what they're doing? And nobody would say boo.
Really?
Yeah. It was, well, in the 1980s, you know, Reagan was president, you know, and it was just so odd. And when I would talk to people, I remember telling a colleague, someone who was also getting a teaching credential, she said, I'm really disturbed, you know, that so-and-so professor said that they admired Marx. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, she invited me to a meeting where a Marxist was speaking about overthrowing the government. When I said that, that woman would not talk to me again. And I know she was a conservative. But
really?
I don't know why. I don't know what either she thought I was crazy for telling her the, you know, adding to what she discovered, or it was, you know, she was scared for her career, or she thought I was a communist because I knew about this. But I, you know, it's like people don't want to know. That's one of the problems with our society. They just want to get their degree, get advanced, go out and do their thing, but they don't realize the concepts that the communists are using, they get everybody to have to use them. And they don't openly advertise themselves as communist concepts. They don't say, oh, you know, this is communism. You know, we want you to teach communism in the classroom. No, they don't say that. They want to get regular teachers who have no idea what they're teaching to carry it out. And so they've changed it. They've disguised it. And so, and of course, making people less able to think or recognize things means that they can completely lead us by the nose educationally into areas that are going to, just like this caller showed, that his brother couldn't do, left school, couldn't do fractions, couldn't do the basic job that he wanted to do.
And that's happening all over the country. And ask anybody who's got employees, the difficulty they have hiring people that are both have the skill sets necessary, will show up for work and actually do work. Ask anybody who's got employees what that's like these days.
Yeah. And it really is the school system, because what I found when I was teaching school, and this is more than 30 years ago, this is in the mid-1980s, what I found is that the students were doing, you know, from the decade when I was in high school, the students were doing less work, much less work than they were when I was in high school.
Hold that thought. We got our last break. We'll be right back.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here on Wednesday, the 3rd day of March, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, we got right at about 3 minutes for you to get the information you think is most important this week, sir, for these folks.
Well, my on jrnyquist.blog, I'm going to be putting out probably tomorrow the first article on the on communist grand strategy, and I'm going to try to explain. I'm going to go by the numbers and try to explain how it works, how it is our leaders don't understand it really, how we have to start understanding it if we're going to be as a society be able to cope with it. People, it's just not enough people recognize what it is they do. And, you know, it sounds incredible, this whole strategy thing. Of course, the whole thing of communists wanting a revolution and overturning the society is incredible. But these people are real. They do exist. They're organized. They have programs. And of course, they control the largest country on earth, Russia, which, believe it or not, is still really controlled by people who are from the old communist structures. And of course, China, the most populous country on earth. And then there's a lot of countries in Africa and some in Latin America that are controlled by the communists. And of course, they've got communists in our government and governments in Western Europe and Central Europe. And so they're really, they're a world movement. They're a tremendous power in the world. And a lot of the things that you hear coming from the left in general originated with the communists. And you say, this doesn't make sense. Why are they, global warming? Why would anybody believe that? You know, these models are not true. It originated with the communists. So does our education. You look at who's promoting things. Why are they so big on promoting this? And this is the reason why. It's part of their strategy. It's part of their grand strategy for moving our society towards socialism and to disarm us so they can rule the world.
And that is the goal. It's been the goal for more than a century, hasn't it, sir?
Yeah, ever since the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, that is what they've been working towards. So that's 103-plus years. And
we're into the fourth and fifth generations of men and women who believe this and working diligently towards that goal, aren't we, sir?
Yes, we are. And it's incredible that they're producing more communists out of our school system now than we have ever had in terms of young people. And we saw the riots last summer. Those riots, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, are led by Marxists. So the idea
that's
right. the burn, more than $1 billion of property damage, more than 300 policemen injured, 36, 37 people killed. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Jeff, thank you, sir. We have you back next Tuesday for the roundtable. Appreciate it. Okay, that's it for the day. That's it for the show. Get your medical supplies, your energy, cleaner, your essential oils. Now while you can, any firearms and ammunition. Ever get your guns. We do a fun, safe, productive day. God bless America.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.